With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, coming up a bit later, Ryan Zimmerman from your Washington Nationals. He's going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, we are joined on the BetQL guest hotline by Dan Shaughnessy, author, sports columnist for the Boston Globe. He's got a new book out, Wish It Lasted Forever, a book about the bygone era of the NBA.
That's what Bickle always talks about.
70s and 80s.
Dan, one of the guys here that does a show, he can't watch the NBA anymore. He says he just can't identify with it. He wants the old school NBA back.
Well, I can't relate to guys just pulling up across half court and just on fast breaks and shoot threes.
Well, especially when they're 7-footers.
Yeah, I mean, I actually hate today's game. But I marvel at Steph Curry before the game shooting from the tunnel. I mean, that's unbelievable, but I hate that that's part of the game
now. But at some point, you have to adapt, right? It's not going to go. It's not going to go back to what it was in the 70s.
Do you have the same frustration, Dan?
Well, it's interesting because this book that I wrote, I'm trying to avoid the temptation to promote the book as, yeah, the game was so much better then and it sucks now, you know, because yeah. That's not what the NBA wants to hear. And I sympathize with what I'm hearing in the studio there. I find it a lot harder to watch, jacking up threes. Not a lot of flow, and that was one thing about the Larry Bird Celtics and that age of the NBA. I think Bird took like 2 threes a game, you know, and I think it's hard enough to, I don't know, 15 or whatever it is. Yeah. It just wasn't, it was a weapon, but it was not the only weapon. They hadn't had the metrics yet and figured out it's better to do this. Uh-huh. You certainly never, I don't think Cedric Maxwell ever made a 3-point shot in his whole career.
Right.
And you wouldn't see Robert Parrish or any of those guys lining up for it. It just takes away from the passing and the flow of the game. You know, the pick and roll, give and go, the picket fence, all that good old time, old fashioned stuff, which the Celtics that I covered, the beauty of it was watching the passing. And I mean, there's highlight reels that just go back and look at those and tell me that's not better.
Well, you know, and Jason and I both went to DeMatha, and Jason played at DeMatha for Morgan.
Long time ago. We grew up
on basketball, pounding it inside, then kicking it out for the open look, that kind of thing. That just doesn't happen anymore.
I'll tell you, this is kind of funny. It's a true story, Dan. So at DeMatha, we would have, after games, Morgan Wooten would come in and, you know, kind of just recap the game, tell us what we did great and criticize for what we did wrong. But he also said, all right, let's talk about some of the numbers. He goes, who led the team in post feeds tonight?
Right.
And in a few games I did, he goes, Bishop, good job, post feed. Because we had Gerard Mustafa on our team who went to Maryland and played for the Knicks. And so he was always pounding, all right, post feed, post feed, post feed, because that's kind of how we controlled the game.
No, I love watching that. And again, it was, I had my head in the keyboard a lot when I was covering the team, and those Celtics played the then Bullets a lot. They were good early round playoff series, and they had Rulon and Mahorn and all that sort of thing, and some of their marches to the championship started right down there where you are. But it was Walton was the key of the high post offense. You know, he'd flash from down low and come up there, and he knew to hold the ball high and get his elbows out, and then Larry Bird be out top, and they just do a head nod, which way he was breaking, and then you get the flip over the shoulder, and Larry do a reverse layup. It was beautiful to watch.
Did you talk to Larry for writing this book?
Larry's about the only guy I didn't talk to. Of course, Dennis Johnson passed away in 2007, and Robert Parrish hates me. That's one of the chapter titles. Chief has a disdain for your ass, you know. So
that's hilarious. There.
But I told Scribner, the publisher, Larry probably, he's turned off the faucets pretty much, and I understand that. He's not talking to Cedric Maxwell for his book or Jackie McMullen or Bob Ryan, who did biographies with him. He's just decided that he's done, and I respect that. And I had so much from back in the day with my journals and old tape recordings and just memories, because in those days you could really tell the fans, you know, what the players were like, because we lived with them. We flew commercial. We waited for bags. We stayed in the hotels. We drank late at night. And you were like, except for not having the fame and the groupies and the money, it was like being on the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were really plugged into to the culture. And it just wasn't the big moat that you have today, which is nobody's fault. But we were able to we knew if they were mad at the coach or didn't like each other. There was no ambiguity about it because we were with them all the time.
Well, I'm sure that, I mean, a lot of these the old schoolers are still involved in the game, either calling it or, you know, in GMs or whatever.
Yeah.
But do you think most of these old schoolers, these great players from the 70s, do they enjoy today's game? Or do they feel the same way you do?
I think there's pushback on it. You know who's a good guy? I did talk to Rick Carlisle for the book, because Carlisle was on the 85-86 Celtics, in my view, the greatest team of all time. They were 50-1 at home, ran away with it, 5 Hall of Famers, et cetera, et cetera. But that team... He's a bit player on that team, and he's obviously still coaching the league. He won a championship with Dallas. So he can see then and now better than most of us. And he believes that the skill sets of that particular team do translate, because they had big people and they had outside shooters. So they would be able to go. Now, the way the game is called now is a lot different. And Mikhail told me when I said, you know, do you guys think you match up with today's Warriors? And he'd say, well, if they let us play by the rules that we played with, yeah. He said, if we play by the rules, you know, today, we'd all foul out in the first quarter. So that's, you know, there's a lot more bumping and banging going on than hand checking and just stuff that wasn't called. And, they weren't all standing 30 feet from the basket the whole game to line up the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is amazing what Curry's doing, though. I mean, not just statistically, but how much better his team is this year. I don't know. At one point, they were 17-1. I'm just kind of looking up the standings right now. They're at 20-4 right now, I think. I certainly did not expect it. I didn't know who was going to be. I knew Phoenix would probably be very good, and you know the Lakers, obviously, with who they have on their team, they've struggled a little bit. But man, what Curry has done for the Warriors is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're coming through here week from Friday. I'm looking forward to seeing that, because you know it's once a year with those guys, so it's a big deal.
Right. And then what about Jordan? Were you able to talk to Jordan about this?
Well, he came in. So in my view, the NBA was rescued with Larry and Magic come in 79, and they break in then. And the Bird Magic finals of the 80s, Celtics Lakers, that was kind of the Ali Frazier of that time. Now Jordan comes in 84. And what I have from that was, there was a big controversy about him getting picked. You know, Portland took Sam Bowie over him, all that stuff. You knew it was okay to take Olajuwon over him, but not Sam Bowie. So that happened. And there was pushback in the league at the time with Isaiah and the All-Star game freezing him out, and guys didn't like him having his own sneaker brand and all that. But Bird, this is in the book, where Bird, he pulled me aside the first time they played in Boston. You know, Celtics routinely beat the Bulls. They weren't that good. And Larry said, that rookie is the best player I've ever played against. He's going to be the greatest player of all time.
Wow.
And it wasn't like Larry to blow smoke. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He had a pedestrian 26, whatever. He was good, but I didn't see it. But he saw it. He was on the court. He saw it. And, of course, that ended up being true. And that's what took the NBA to the next level and leads to the Dream Team and kind of where we are today, where they're a global entertainment entity. But The Last Dance was a big inspiration for this book, because if you go back – year and a half or almost 2 years now, when there was no games, I'm sure it was hard doing shows like this here, but it was, we were all starving for ball and watching The Last Dance, and watching The Last Dance, I was reminded of that time of the NBA and seeing my young self sitting at courtside. They used to give the lowly media those seats, you know, they sell for 10 grand now.
Right.
It was just the dopey writers sitting next to the team, listening to everything they were saying. And that's how we were able to tell the fans what was going on. So seeing that, and then all the Celtic Classic games kind of inspired me to go out and do this and talk about a time when the NBA was quite a bit different than it is now. We stayed in Holiday Inns, flew commercial, waited for bags, you know, all the stuff that regular people do. And it was just more of a fun time. I'm telling you, going to the practices of this group, Bird, Parrish, Mikhail, DJ, Danny Ainge, Walton, it was more fun than the games, because they just had so much confidence in each other. They were so much fun. They talked trash. And, man, it was, I wish I had enjoyed it more. And Bill Walton named the book, Wish It Lasted Forever, because he got 1 year of his life back to come back here and win a championship.
Right. Talking to Dan Shaughnessy, the book is Wish It Lasted Forever, of course, columnist for the Boston Globe for many, many years. Take us back to the Bias time.
Yeah.
We, of course, grew up in this area, and Len Bias was like a god to us watching him play for Maryland.
Yep.
But then he was drafted by the Celtics, and they were coming off a championship, I believe.
I played against his brother in high school, Jay Bias.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot about that in the book, because, of course, Red Auerbach was a D.C. guy. You know, lived right off Massachusetts Ave there, went to GW, never left. He lived in hotels when he was in Boston. His wife and two daughters grew up in Washington. That was the base for him. So he always knew about the D.C. kids, you know, going back to Adrian Dantley and Austin Carr and on down. And so he was well aware of Bias. Red had a, you know, old school scam. He had a summer camp, and he would hire counselors, quote unquote. And it was always studs from the ACC and the D.C., you know, Maryland area. And these kids would come in, and they'd be the counselors, and they'd get paid. And they could work out with the rookie league kids and the first-round picks of the incoming Celtic class. So I remember in the summer of, like, 84, we were like, whoa, who's that counselor? You know, and it was Len Bias. And Rick Carlisle had played in Virginia, so he had played against him, and he said, that's the best player in the country. And Red traded a starting guard off a championship team, Gerald Henderson, who went to Virginia Commonwealth, and they won the championship against the Lakers in 84. And Red didn't like the contract they signed with Jerry. He held out. They signed him, and they traded his butt to Seattle 2 days later. And Jerry, in the book, he is quoted as saying, I was traded for a dead man. Because 2 years later, that pick to Seattle, it was the institution of the lottery, and Seattle got the second pick in the draft. So the Celtics went 50-1 at home. They won the championship, five Hall of Famers, and had the second pick in the draft from a trade that Red had made 2 years earlier. That pick was Len Bias, and of course, the cocaine intoxication got him 2 days later, and they never had the player. But it would have changed a lot up here, extended the careers of Bird, Parrish, and McHale, just the help they would have had up front. And McHale was playing with a broken foot against the Lakers in the finals the next year. But it's, to have a team that went, you know, won 58 games and won 50-1 at home and then bring in Len Bias, it's hard to imagine what they would have been like for another year or two.
They would have won easily two or three more championships.
Yeah.
You would think.
It would have been fun.
Hey, why did the Chief hate you?
Yeah, give us
no
the backstory.
No one knows.
Really?
He looked like he hated everybody.
Yeah, he seemed like a tough guy.
You know, he was a good teammate, and he's played more games than any person in the NBA history, which is a little-known fact.
Wow.
He won a championship with the Bulls on the way out the door, always took care of himself, could really run the floor. Bill Fitch made him a Hall of Fame player. They got him from the Warriors with McHale for Joe Barry Carroll, one of Red's great deals of all time. And he came to Boston, and Fitch, you know, cracked the whip and had him running the floor. And he was a recipient. His hands were good. He could catch that pass. And when he was moving in traffic and Bird fling it over his shoulder, Robert Parrish turned it into gold. He knew how to do that and was a great teammate. He subjugated his ego because the shot totals went down when you had Bird, McHale, Ainge. They had a lot of guys who wanted the rock. And Parrish was okay with that. He got easy baskets, and he actually matched up with Malone pretty well when they had it going in the mid-'80s, because that was the big threat in the East, was Moses Malone eating the backboard and just really hard to go against, and Chief could do that.
Hey, Dan, real quick, we got to run here in a second, but you obviously cover the Red Sox and baseball. How long do you expect this lockout to last? There's no way that they're going to lose games to it after last year. There's just too much money involved. But is this going to go into spring training, do you think?
I'm worried about it. There's no appetite for it. People hate it. No one wants to talk about it. And they better not lose any games, because there's people. Don't let people know they can go without you, because they will. This sport is teetering on the edge of irrelevance, and they can ill afford that. And while we're talking in Washington, D.C., and while we're talking baseball, a little tip of the hat to Tim Kirkjian, young Tim Kirkjian, who lives in Maryland right there. He used to write for the Washington Star with Timmy, and he's in the Hall of Fame as the career excellence writer for baseball writers, and congrats to Timmy. He's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah. He's one of our favorites.
Little-known fact, Dan, his son interned on our show.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. All right, thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Congrats on the book.
Thanks, fellas.
Also, little-known fact, for small guy, has a really good crossover dribble, at least used to, that can knock down threes.
Sure. Now, is it his niece that was the tennis player that plays tennis? Am I thinking of that correctly?
Kirkjian's niece?
No, Shaughnessy's.
Oh, Shaughnessy? I don't know.
Isn't that his niece?
You're right.
I think it's his niece.
I don't think it's his daughter, but I think you're right.
Is it Megan Shaughnessy?
Is she a pro?
Yeah.
I don't know her. I don't know Megan Shaughnessy.
I think it's Megan. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me look that up.
Maybe
he's always excellent. So, Wish It Lasts Forever. That's kind of like the heyday of when we were basketball fans.
Megan Shaughnessy. Yeah,
I think that's his niece, though.
Okay, makes sense.
Dan Shaughnessy, the book is Wish It Lasted Forever. Coming up next, let's open up EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.